Hello, guys. Welcome to the Blackspin Global Podcast. I am Lucy.
And I'm Eugene.
And welcome to our first episode of 2025. Happy New Year, gang.
Happy New Year.
No champagne. We got water.
Cheers.
It's cool.
And cranberry
Cheers.
Juice.
Cheers. Happy New Year, guys. Happy New Year, Eugene.
Happy New Year, Lucy.
How do you feel this year?
Coming live from where are you? Sorry?
I'm in the car, Senegal, one of the best countries in the Black Cloud world.
In the motherland, yeah? I see you.
Yes. Enjoying the sun, enjoying family, enjoying and partying. As you can see, my voice is gone. I've been on this podcast too many times after a party, you know, like people must be thinking I'm a serious party animal.
It's all good, man. This podcast is a party, so we continue.
This podcast is a party. I like that. I like that. How you feeling? I don't want to be bad vibes, but I heard it's snowing in London. Still,
like. I wasn't gonna mention the weather, but yeah, literally this morning, like well, last night. So we were recording on a Sunday, so Saturday evening, yeah, it started snowing. So like, basically, it didn't settle though. So like, it wasn't. When I woke up this morning, like it wasn't like there wasn't like white snow like all over. It was just more
wet and slushy.
Quite annoying. But up north, like further up north, it was pretty bad. So like Liverpool, Manchester,
It's always like that in London, though. We don't really
pretty
get
much
snow.
Exactly. But to be honest, I'm surprised. Like because of global warming, like I'm surprised we even have snow. Like
that's true. It's been
relatively mild. Like. For sure. December.
No, you're right. Like when before I left, I was like, why is it a bit warm?
It's weird.
Yeah.
And like where you are. What's the temperature where you are though? Sorry, quickly.
Listen, I'm just saying it's like nearly like 30 degrees and that, you know what I mean? Tomorrow I'm going to the beach the whole day, you know what I mean?
With the skin all glowing and ting.
Skin is glowing, guys. Skin is glowing. And it's also glowing because tennis is back, guys. I am so happy. I don't know what it was, but I was just like, it's so funny. We always complain about tennis season being so long. And then when there's no tennis, it's like, but it made me realize how much this thing's in my life.
Yeah. I honestly though, Lucy, I don't really feel like we've had a break. Like the season kind of
I felt ended. It. I'm not going to lie. That couple weeks, do you know what it was? I think maybe in the BSG way, there wasn't like that. It kind of finished early for us. I'm not going to lie.
No, we didn't have. I mean,
because after the WTA finals, what did we have?
Artifice, next gen. Even though he lost.
Even
he lost
that, early, yeah. But that was, that was the only thing. Do you get what I mean? Like, we didn't really need to follow ATP finals, which was a snooze fest, respectfully. We didn't need to follow a lot of different stuff. Like, so to me, I kind of felt it. But in do you know what it is? In my head, tennis doesn't start till January. So when these tournaments are starting December 20, I'm like, no, it's Christmas. It's actually Christmas.
So you don't tap in until Jan. That's crazy.
I don't tap in really into Jan. And plus being home doesn't make it easy. I'm busy in the club, guys.
Fair enough.
It is what it is. There's a lot. Either way, a lot has been going on. Way
quite
too much. That's how we had to pod. So we're going to start with the news. Are we starting with the news, yeah?
Yeah, let's go with the news.
So, Elena Rybakina. I'm going to explain and then I'm going to say what I've got to say in it. Elena Rybakina's former coach, Stefano Vukov, has been suspended by the WTA. So for a very long time, there's been a lot of talk about, or rumors initially about the way Stefano has been treating Elena and stuff to a point where they now address their split, which we don't know if it was part of the mistreatment. She just announced that they're no longer working. And then that's when she started working with Novak's coach, which, remind me his name again.
Goran Ivanišević.
Yes. And which was very exciting and everything. And then out of nowhere, she has then decided to work with Stefano again, which she
announced. Bring him back on board. Exactly.
Yeah, bringing him back on board. And literally a couple hours later, 24 hours later, the WTA then announced that he has actually been suspended and they are investigating him right now as a private investigation. I don't know if we're going to get information later on. I hope we do because I feel like there's so much that's been going on and stuff. The Athletic did a very good article on this in a lot of details. I forgot the journalist's name. Sorry, I only remember Matthew and the other one. The other one, I
Charlie Eccleshare.
Charlie, yes. So they both did like a piece together. I highly recommend people to actually read the whole thing. We need to go back to reading stuff, guys. We actually need to go back. A lot of views are pointing out opinions, and you're not reading the articles. Please read the articles. Do the reading, please. That was very helpful. And there was a lot of talk about different stuff. And my conclusion is, this is how I feel from reading the article and reading the way Elena has still been defending Stefano, because even after the suspension, she's been very open. She said, I don't know why they're doing this. I want him to be here. We have a great working relationship, you know, and stuff. From the look of it, in all honesty, Eugene, I really think it was a thing of people around Elena and Stefano saw how he was, and in their head, they felt like, this is mistreatment. She's not being treated properly. I'm going to go and complain. Because it's always been opinions of others saying that, oh, hey, he's like, they're having it. There's also that rumor about them having an inappropriate relationship as well, that there's more than what it is.
Yeah, as in more than just a player coach relationship.
Yeah, that yeah. They actually have like an intimate relationship, whether boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever. I don't actually buy it. I think there is a misunderstanding of like culture and how people are. So Bublik didn't, when he did his UTS that sit down with Patrick and Nick, he had a very honest conversation about how his dad was very strict. He didn't agree with the way that his dad was like really trying to be aggressive, and you know, he could have been easy on him, basically. Like he was very ruthless, but at the same time he was thankful for that, because he feel like he wouldn't be where he is in his career if he didn't have that. Bublik and Elena come from the same place, or like they play for the same country, basically. I believe
Kazakhstan.
Yes, I believe it's a thing of like people around are like, wait, you're not supposed to be talking to your player like that, you're not supposed to behave in your player like that, and they just used to that, and everyone felt uncomfortable. And then went to go and snitch at WTA and be like, yo, this is inappropriate. I generally think that's what it is, unless it's a thing of they actually do have an intimate relationship. I think it's just a misunderstanding of culture and background, the same way that there's some people that don't believe in putting your hands in children, some do. Do you get what I mean? Like
no,
the
I
way
mean.
Africans are raised, the way Eastern Europeans are raised, the way Americans are raised is all different. I may be waffling, but based on the article, based on our public interview, and based on how we are all different humans, if they're not having an intimate relationship, I think a lot of people felt uncomfortable. And because even like, and I think her announcing that he's coming back was for her to piss off the WTA, because this has actually been going on a lot for a while behind the scenes. We just did not know. They've been going back and forth. And I feel like, you know, was just like, you know what? F this. I'm bringing him back. And WTA was like, oh, okay. Let me actually show you. Matter of fact, he can't come. He can't even be near the AO. Nothing. Go with Govan. That's what I think. I may be waffling. You guys know how I'm here with my theories, but I may be wrong.
No, it's you're entitled to your opinion. Like, yeah, and to be honest, I don't really disagree with anything you've said, Lucy, honestly. Like, and I think you make a good point about the culture. Like, because yeah, culturally, we are different in terms of where you're from kind of has an effect on like how you act and behave.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously though, there is like blatant right from wrong. And the difficulty with this situation is the fact that like we don't have all the facts, because like you That's said, it, like really. a lot of it is kind of like, I say hearsay. There's been no kind of statement from Rebecca herself saying, oh, like I've been abused, or in the past he did this, or you get me. So it's difficult to kind of say like where these kind of stories or like
coming from.
Come from.
Yeah.
And to kind of back up Rebecca, like she's also said that, yeah, she insisted that she's never been mistreated by him.
Mm-hmm.
And she said this at the United Cup where she was competing for Kazakhstan. And it honestly, like for me, Lucy, like overall, I just thought the whole thing is just, it's sad, because I hate when players are kind of put in a position where their private lives are like scrutinized.
For sure. I'm with you.
And it's just really, it's an uncomfortable kind of position to be in. Like, and also for the journalists too, because obviously they've got a job to do in terms of like asking the questions and, you know, trying to get to the bottom of whatever story it is. Mm-hmm. But then for me, I'm just looking at it from like the black and white in terms of her being a tennis player. Like, I'm more concerned about Alina Rybakina, the tennis player. Like, I don't, not to say that I don't care about like what's going on in her private life.
Yeah,
as long as she's not being abused or like,
exactly. Yeah.
For me, like, that's not on. But as long as she's happy, like that's the main thing. And if she if she's saying that, you know, like she's happy to have Lukov on the team alongside Goran Ivanisevic, then I mean, I don't know. Like, but then also you also have to feel like or think the WTA must have reason, you know, to be, you know, going to this investigation and also suspending him. Like, there must be valid evidence for them to kind of be so forceful. So
it's 50-50. It's a bit weird.
I think, like, we should just wait and see how it plays out.
Exactly.
Because, we don't know. We don't have all the facts, and clearly there is an investigation going on, like behind the scenes. So I guess
I think for me is like, I just feel like she's always been policed. Like, it's always, I feel like she's been treated like this kid. And it's like, oh, she should be doing this. She should be smiling. She should be saying this comment.
Yeah,
she should be with it. Like, she's been policed so many times. And to me, it's just like, so, and I think that's why she was kind of fed up. She was like, bro, like, I want to do what I want to do. But again, I would take all of these things back if it's a thing where they give all the proof and say,
100%,
actually, he did X, Y, and Z, but we don't know for now. And yeah, I was looking forward to her this season, I'm not going to lie, with a new coach and everything. So I really hope this does not disrupt a lot of her tennis.
It's a great,
because tennis really need her. She's a great player.
That's what I was going to say. Like, I feel like this is also going to distract her in terms of her performances.
Yeah.
Because it's a lot to kind of be dealing with, like, mentally.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously the sport is already tough, like psychologically already as it is. So to be having this kind of be going on behind the scenes, that's only going to like add to like the pressure and strain, but hopefully it's resolved like sooner rather than later. So
we shall see.
Next. Nick Kyrgios. Is that a good Australian accent?
That was all right still. I'll give it to you. It's all right.
Like, so basically he's been in the news. He's just all over social media. I say social media, Twitter, X. I'm not sure if he's on Blue Sky. Guys, we're on Blue Sky too, by the way. Lucy, you know we're on Blue Sky.
I know, but am I on Blue Sky?
But yeah, Kyrgios has been all over Twitter, or X, sorry. Just like doubling down on the whole Jannik Sinner thing. And I don't know about you, Lucy, like it's... I'm a bit fed up. Like, I don't really know how else to put it.
But are you fed up, or is it a thing of like everyone is forgetting that Nick is a troll?
And this is what I'm saying.
Like, he's a troll, everyone is falling for it.
Yeah, it's the fact that people are the fact that people are taking it so seriously. Because
did you see my tweet today?
No.
I literally tweeted, I was like, guys, I think I'm going to mute Nick Kyrgios. And it's not even because of him. It's because you guys mention him way more than, for me, the way I see it is, if I really cannot stand someone to that extent, I'm not going, like, the guy can sneeze and everyone will be bringing him up and everything. At the same time,
go on.
Bro, if I am a player and a number one player has been out here, bus in case when he was you know he got basically banned secretly and he's about to go to court and appeal for his case and whatnot, all of that is happening, and then I've had the tennis industry on my neck for breaking a racket. If I'm as stubborn and disruptive as Nick, I'll be doing the same, but I won't be saying outrageous stuff, in all honesty. There are some stuff where I'm like, I relax and whatnot, but
it's a bit
mad. I think people just need to stop taking the bait. He's trolling. Nick has always been a troll. The same people who are annoyed now enjoyed this troll before he was famous. Like, there was a time where a lot of these people actually did like Nick. They don't like him now. I understand that some don't like him about his because of his case, which goes back to my point. Guys, please read the Nick case because you guys are throwing allegations to him that are not the same and accurate. A lot of people did not read that case. And I've been wanting to say that out loud, and I'm scared of saying it because I don't want people to be thinking that I'm defending him. It's more, to me, in my head, I'm like, there are real abusers out there. Go and read that case.
You mean his domestic abuse case?
Bro, the way people talk about it and what actually happened are like two complete different things. And I'm like, did people actually read the case? Guys, please read. 2025. Read. Books. Articles.
No, documentary.
Read. But yeah, I mean, I'm sorry. Sinner needs to take the L, bro. Like, he's been laid off too easily. Someone needs to.
Because on that, do you not think Sinner should like come out and say something as in response to Kyrgios or not bother?
He probably will at the AO. I know there's gonna be a journalist gonna ask him, what do you think of Nick Kyrgios? He's probably either going to be like, I don't care, I'm here for my tennis, blah blah blah. He's entitled to my opinion. I think he will give a respectful answer because at the end of the day, his situation is not done. He needs to pray and hope that he's not going to get banned. Facts. I don't think Nick is his issue right now. His issue is making sure that he's not going to be able to not play for 3 or 2 months, however they're going to ban him for, and that he can bust case. I think he's just going to give a nice finger answer. I don't see him being as rude. I think if he didn't have the case or like the court appeal coming soon, I think probably he would have been more open. Either way, I'm sorry. Some people call it harassment, fine. But bro, it is what it is. Everyone has been super kind to this guy about his case. Same with Iga, same with Sinner. So it is what it is, bro. Take the L. I don't agree with certain stuff. I know it's annoying. Don't get me wrong. But people need to ignore Nick. Needs to leave him alone. Nick needs to also leave this Yannick thing alone. But at the same time, I get it, but I don't agree with it, but I get it. You get what I mean? I wouldn't do it, but it's like... It is where it is. So he's not going to stop. He wants to make noise as well. He's not been playing tennis. He's back tournament this year. And yeah, bro.
And it's good to see him back as well. We'll talk a bit about it later on, but it's good to see him back, like back on the tour.
Yeah, like, I mean, yeah, people just need to, it is what it is.
On to this, we're still on some news, actually. I've put here, just here for the handshake. there's been a lot of handshake chat in the first week of the new season.
Tennis is back, bro. back.
We'll talk more probably in more detail about like Jakub Mensik, Giovanni Pecci Pericard. It's not Pecci, it's Pecci Pericard. Mm-hmm. Daniel Collins as well, United Cup, and Iga Świątek as well. But there was a good tweet actually. I want to read the tweet. So yeah, Matt Willis, he said, tennis handshakes are civilization theater. Two borderline unhinged competitors, fresh from hours of battle, forced to perform microseconds of social grace while a dinner plate sized camera lens chases them and captures their brain chemistry, still wrestling ancient demons to combat. Like, I thought that was a great tweet.
That is, I think I saw it.
Sum up.
I think I saw it.
When you really do think about it, Lucy, like, if a player's just lost the match, let's call it 2 hours, 3 hours, even an hour, if they've just been beaten, they're not going to be in the best of moods.
Of course.
So, like, that's why I'm always, like, impressed by players. And a lot of the guys get a lot of crap on the ATP tour for, like, doing the dap and the hug, like, after the defeat. To me, I like that because it's showing, listen, no hard feelings. It's sport. There's going to be a winner and a loser. There's going to be a winner and a loser. So... Yeah, like you just kind of, you deal with it basically there and then. Some players though are better at taking a loss than others, which is what we've seen in these in recent days. I don't know how you feel. I mean, I know you like the drama. So
for context, for those who don't know, Rubeshi Pericard and Mensik finished their match. And Menchik during the match, I didn't watch it, but from what I was seeing from the highlights, he just was unable to return to Mupeshi's Perricard's serve. And as you guys know, his serves are a madness. He gets the serve ball allegations.
Which he beat, by the way, I'm sorry, which we'll come on to.
Yeah, and Adina, they did a handshake and Menchik did not even like look him, and Beshik Perikar was even like confused, like, wait, what?
It was weak.
It was weak. I love it. To me, this is what brings entertainment to the sport. Look how everyone was talking about it. Look how when we posted it on our story and I said tennis is back. It's exciting. I like it. Do you get what I mean? I don't, and you never know. Menchik probably sent a message after Beshik Perikar, like, yo, I'm sorry, I was salty that I lost and blah, blah, blah. Like Houston last year, when the final between Ben Shelton and Francis Tiafoe was pissed, and they boys, yeah. He was pissed. Like,
but also, I feel like there was a bit of trolling as well, like on Tiafoe's part there.
But yeah, I don't know. Bit. You know, I think
it was sincere, he was definitely
at the end of the day. But at the end of the day, like, we know it's sport. We know the next day is going to be calm. So for me, I don't feel like. I don't know. I like it either way. Like, and it can bring a good rivalry as well. Like I said it, but you don't need to be boys. We're here to win. We're here to play.
Just on before we move on, the Pecci Perricard Menchik match. There was actually, because at first I just thought it was because Menchik was irritated that he didn't get any break point looks. And like you said, obviously Pecci's Perricard serve is just a joke.
Mm-hmm.
Like he literally serves two first serves,
mm-hmm.
but. There was a tweet, and I didn't need dive into it too much, but it showed a previous meeting between them. I think it was a challenger level.
Someone told me that, yeah. That they had like a bad handshake as well.
Yeah, so I think there was a call that Menchik didn't agree with.
Yeah.
And I want to say Perricard went on to win that match.
Yeah, he did.
And I feel like, yeah, there's clearly...
It was, like I completely forgot, yes. Yeah, because I sent a picture to someone and they said the same thing. They were like, no, there was another match that they had.
Yeah.
It was the same situation.
But even if that's the case, Lucy, like, I'm sorry, man, like, move on. Like, you're professionals, like, come on. And also, too, and this is what I love about, sportsmanship. Mm-hmm. Menchik got his own back. So they ended up playing doubles against each other. The next day.
And he won.
And Menchik won with, who was his partner? Louis Lehechka, I think, who's actually been able to win the actual title.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, Perricard, he took the loss like a man.
Mm-hmm.
And what I loved about it, when he went for the handshake, he looked Menchik in the eye. And like it was a look to say, yeah, I'm looking you in the eye. Like,
yeah.
I was like, yeah, you are the bigger man there in every sense.
Yeah,
so I respect that. I really did. And I was going to like tweet it, but I was like, Eugene, chill. Like, I don't want to keep.
Yeah, like... I get what you
mean. Do you get me? You so we move. But it, like you said, it's entertainment. It's fun. It's fun.
That's how I see it, honestly. Like, I don't think is, you know, my only thing is that had it been Giovanni who did that handshake.
Let's not go there, Lucy.
Let's not go there, but we know the truth. We know the truth, you know, but I feel like someone, and that's what I'm saying, I feel like they just don't like Collins the same thing. I think she actually doesn't like Igor. So she's, because it's not the first time she's done like.
And to be fair, that wasn't a post-match, that was pre, which is.
That was pre, yeah. She was already giving like attitude and stuff.
Do you not feel that has anything to do with like the whole Swiatek secret ban? Or do you think it's got nothing to do with that?
Oh, 100%. I think I said it on the pod last year. I was like, these girls are going to be even more like, you know, she needs... That's what I'm saying. And that is what I'm saying. That's why I can't be too mad at someone like Nick. I think people or Collins, with the way that they're behaving towards them, if that's for Collins' case, that's why she's like that with Igor. Because it's like, bro, like... Had it been her, had it been Nick, had it been any other players, the consequences would have been completely different.
Keeping it real.
Yeah, like, and this is why I strongly believe that Iga this year is going to be really tough on her. Because she's not going to be cool, like, with a lot of people. Or there might be some, like, Sabalenka, who's been vocally, like, you know, supportive of her and stuff and saying, like, listen, everything made sense. She kind of said what Timani said on our last pod. So, yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, no, we'll see. Last bit of news now, a bit of a funny one. Carlos Alcaraz and his fade. So we've not actually seen him on the tour yet. We've just seen pictures or videos of him training. I don't think he's going to play a warm-up event before AO. But yeah, for me, Lucy, I think it's ridiculous. I feel like the fade, it suits him. Like, and he clearly likes.
Do you know what it is, Eugene? Do you know what it is? I didn't want to tweet, but I'm gonna say it on the pod.
Please say it.
You lot were being anti-black, bro. Like, that was a nice fade. You guys don't know about the fade, bro. I can't believe he even has a white barber. I did that. It wasn't even a black barber that did that. I was like, oh no, he must have a black barber. I'm seeing some white Latino guy. I remember when I first saw it,
I was like, wow, like, yeah, Carlos goes to a black barber. That's crazy.
Bro, was clean. That was a clean fade. They hate him, bro. They don't understand. They hate him. But the outrage was insane.
You joke about anti-black, Lucy, but that, for me, that is a thing because, like...
Yeah, it is.
It's weird to me. It really is. Like,
I don't understand.
You're free to do whatever the hell you want with your hair. Like, and I'm not trying to go back into... I remember a controversy at the US Open with, who was it again? The braids. It's not that at all. Don't try and come.
But yeah, I couldn't believe that. I think also the girls and the gays do find Carlos more attractive with the hair. So I think there's that as well. So I think that's why they were crying. You know, the Carlos got the girls now, you know. So maybe that's why. But guys, he's out here with a fade. Don't hate
fade. Leave him alone, man.
Please. He is looking 30, you know. He's trying to, Carlos is outside. He's trying to get, you know what I mean?
Leave Carlos alone. But yeah, Lucy, let's get into some tennis, man. I think we should start with the one and only Coco. Absolutely dominated. So she was the United Cup MVP on her tournament debut. She's in incredible form. So she was unbeaten, played 5 singles matches, won all 5 in straight sets, played 2 doubles matches, won those as well with Taylor Fritz. And yeah, it was just basically a dream run, like at the tournament, obviously helped United States win the competition for the second time in their history. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I'm annoyed that I wasn't able to stay up. I say stay up. I was working, so I wasn't able to, I wasn't able to stay up for the final against Swiatek, but I did watch it. I watched the highlights and obviously woke up to like the news and I was like, bloody hell, this is incredible. And I saw the reaction and just on Coco though, because I did see some of her matches during the run. I watched her first round against, all round, it was a group match against Leila Fernandez of Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she looked good there. That was her first match of the year. And then Donna Vekic, a player she's never beaten before. Don't forget, Vekic beat her at the Olympics last year.
Yep.
Great sets.
Mm-hmm.
Coco just played off the court. And then in the quarterfinals, it was China, Zhang Shuai.
Yep.
Straight sets again. I've got here the head-to-head. So the first match against Fernandez, that was their first meeting, which I found incredible. I thought they played before.
Yeah, I thought they played again. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Obviously, Vekic has now won all. And then Zhang Shuai, she's actually beaten 3 times now. So again, she's unbeaten against Shea.
Mm-hmm.
And then Karolina Muchova again in the semi-finals, another straight sets win. Muchova's never beaten her, Lucy. And I say beaten, she's never even got a set off Coco. Like,
crazy.
So for some reason, that matchup is just like not a good one for Muchova, who's like obviously a really talented player, but Coco just has her number all the time. And then the final against Stuga Swiatek, straight sets. That's a second consecutive win now, because obviously she beat her at the WTA finals at the end of last year. I was just blown away by not so much her play as well. Obviously her play was amazing, but it's like she has like an aura now, I feel. And that for me is like Yeah, that's gonna take a
Or the
long
haters
while.
trying to say the cockiness. Listen, if it's cockiness, then it's cockiness, isn't it? It
It
doesn't
is what it
matter.
is,
It is
literally.
what it is. She can be cocky. She is a
Semantics,
champion at the
like,
end of the day.
and I feel like every athlete has that in them in terms of like the arrogance. You need to, especially if you're like a great. You have to believe in your own source. Coco clearly believes in her own source, and rightly so.
Period. I think for me, I hate when black people are being told to be humble. I hate even more when it's black women. And unfortunately, though they don't understand it, it's annoying because you can't get upset because it's like you actually do not
Don't,
get because
yeah.
you are privileged enough to not actually have to deal with that. Like you should even thank God that you had to deal with that. And it's like for so long, Coco could actually talk her shit if she wanted to. She could actually be as arrogant as she wanted to, but
And but that's one
it's
thing
the
about her.
fact
I do like that she does. She picks her moments because sometimes she
she
will be
picks her moment.
confident.
This time she's playing, she's like,
Yeah.
make some blood clot noise,
I'd love
bro.
to. We need a
She
shove
has
an
her
emoji
moments,
ASAP.
but it's the fact that she actually goes out of her way to be respectful of her opponents, respectful to the fans, respectful to the staff, respectful to everyone around her. And the one time where she's like, and the thing is, she wasn't even being cocky. She was just talking about how she believes in herself. She's like, once when I believe in myself and my confidence is high, I play my best. Well, bro, they're bloody athletes. They're playing tennis as well. You have to have that sort of a mentality. If not, you're never going to be at a space where she's at.
You'll never
Is
make
that's what it
it.
is. It's never gonna
You'll
make it.
never
And she
make
has
it.
to have that type of mentality, especially when she's playing with someone like Iga, who the head-to-head is different, which is gonna change.
100%.
It's gonna
And
change.
listen, Swiatek will beat her again. Like, there's no doubt about that. But the matchup is different now,
This is what
definitely.
I'm saying. Like, I'm looking forward to the rivalry between them two because you can literally see the growth of like Coco. I've been saying this a thousand of times on this podcast. It's just time. Coco just needed that time. I've had faith in her forehand improving. Now look at everyone going crazy about her forehand. I had faith in literally her serves and the double falls literally improving. Here we are today. The United Cup
She's changed up the
matches
grip on the serve.
changed up the grip, changed up the speed. We've always talked about how great she is on the court when her movements. That match, she was doing some insane
Oh
returns.
man, yeah.
That is why she was pissed. That's why Ego was pissed because she did not know how to literally like handle her. Like Coco was just when Coco's playing her best. I'm sorry, like it's scary times. It's scary hours. We said it so many times, and she's proven that even before this Ego match. Anytime Coco has literally played her best, where mentally, physically, she is literally at the top. It's hard for these girls
Yeah.
for literally to beat her. She's played so well. She's literally, I feel like the last couple of months has been really helpful to her and has given her this crazy boost. Like she improved in minutes. Like her mentality and her drive is different from so many players. That's what stands out, Coco. She's been grinding for years, literally since she was like, she made that breakthrough from Wimbledon. And I think people have always forgotten that she is so young. She just needed that growth. And look where she is now. 2025 is her season. I said it. And I'm saying it
Crazy.
again. I'm telling you, Ayo, be scared. The
I think I
ladies, I know
tweet.
you're scrambling. You're scrambling. I know you saw that match. Shook, scared, panicking.
Just before we move on, I love what she said, and you kind of touched on it when she said about playing good tennis. She's hard to beat. So during the on-court interview, she actually said that I have the belief that I'm one of the best players in the world. When I play good tennis, I'm hard to beat. Like, and I quote tweeted that. For me, Lucy, that just shows where her mind's at right now. It kind of similar it's similar to Jasmine Paolini, like in that there's like a certain level of belief that she has against these top girls that like she could actually compete and beat them. So for me, Swiatek was always the match, or yeah, so Swiatek was always the opponent that Coco struggled against the most. She's beaten Rybakina, she's beaten Sabalenka. But yeah, like you said, the head-to-head with Swiatek is crazy. I don't feel like the gap is that big anymore. And I feel like, yeah, we're going to see a lot more. Like, it's going to be a great rivalry, like these next few seasons. And I'm looking forward to it.
That match has really made people like excited. Like, people already saying, oh my gosh, like we are 4 or 5 days in the new year and I already have my favorite match of the year. Like,
great way to start the season.
Like, great way to start the season. Great look for the WTA. Great look for the rivalry between Iga and Coco because of the head-to-head. A lot of time people try to be like, there's no like rivalry, which I understand, but I think people always forgot that again, there was this growth with her. She just needed 100%. Time.
Exactly.
She just needed time to like grow. So that match just made me more excited. Like the last two matches against Iga, I'm no longer in a, oh shoot, we're about to face Iga. Now it's like, I'm so excited.
I remember your tweets, free us from Iga. It's not anymore.
Tennis gods, free us not from any, Iga. But anymore. Now it's Iga, be sure, be ready.
Just on the match as well. Like, I don't know if you saw, did you watch any of it or were you able to see like highlights?
So
or?
This is the issue. Now sports doesn't work abroad, even with VPN.
Oh, damn.
So I literally like, when I was watching even the Osaka match, I was begging on Twitter, like, bro, someone send me.
Oh, yeah, because you were in the club.
Like, I was in the club, guys. I was in the club. Work hard, play hard. Don't let the club stop me. There was no way I was going to miss her first final since, you know, there was no way. It was not happening.
What did you make of Iga having the medical timeout at 5? Was it 5-4 in the second set? But it was on her serve. So she was due to serve next. And obviously she got broken after that. Well, when she came back. It was weak. I'm going to say it was weak. Because she is known. I say known. I mean, The evidence is there, Lucy. Let's just be real.
That's why I was so confused when she did it against... Who did she do it against before Coco again? She did it against...
Rebecca?
Was it Rebecca? No, United Cup. Just now. Was it Rebecca?
It was Rebecca, yeah. I'm pretty sure they played in the
Okay,
semi.
If it was... Anyway, she did it before. And I was really confused when I saw people tweeting, oh, she's not known to be taking these type of... I'm like, excuse me? Iga would be taking toilet breaks... And you'd be there sitting there for 15 minutes trying to mess up the momentum. She literally did a bloody WTA finals.
Yeah.
When Coco was like, after the first set, she was there till God knows when. So, I mean, do you know what? If I was a tennis player, yeah, and I'm trying to be
You do it.
I 100% do it. I'm not going to lie, bro. I'm not going to lie. So, again...
I respect the honesty.
I'm not going to lie. Like, it is what it is, isn't it? Sometimes it's like, let me try to get my way.
Times
like,
are hard.
I think times are hard. I need to, like, you know, recap. Let me mess up her ting, you know? And, like, this is what makes tennis fun. The thing is that, again, it goes back to my point. A lot of times we are not okay with certain stuff when it's a player that... fans are not a big fan about, or they do it to a player that you really like and so on. And so I get it. Like a lot of times we're being a very, very biased, but if you put the bias aside and I'm like, bro, if I'm trying to win, these are the things that made the sports exciting. So it's annoying, but it is what it is. Sometimes
well
you have to
said.
Finesse your
well
way.
Said, Lucy. Well
like,
said.
You know, like it's, I find it entertaining because everyone is talking there. We have all these emotions and you enjoy the thing, the match more. And it also shows then also the opponent's ability. The fact that Coco can then just get up and go back to the match and just do it.
The mentality, crazy. Yeah, 100%.
You know, it's great. At the end of the day, it didn't stop her. She won the match.
Just on Coco, or staying with Coco actually a bit longer, the Donovekic match, it was funny because that was played in Perth. Oh, yeah, it was played in Perth.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the heat was crazy on mm-hmm. that particular day. And like Vekic, she was like, the way she was sweating, like you can see she was going through it. She was sweating, mm-hmm. hot, mm-hmm. flustered, bothered. Coco was just there, like just strolling, like because obviously she grew up in Florida, I think in Florida, you know, where the heat is always beaming, like the sun's always beaming. It was just such a weird, like funny contrast to see that. And I mean the conditions obviously did play a part in Coco winning that match, but ultimately she got it done in straight sets. But I just thought that was also quite significant, that match, because that could have been potentially a tough one considering mm-hmm. she lost to her last year. So great to see Coco playing at this level, man. It's just very exciting, like to kind of think about what's ahead in terms of the near future with the AO like around the corner.
For sure.
We need to shout out birthday girl, Jasmine Paolini. So she's now 20. She's now, go on.
I can't
Now,
believe she's world number four, bro.
29 years old. But the way she started this
Paulini.
season, Lucy, wow. So
Paulini, world number four. Crazy.
she lost four games in her opening two matches. So she took out Belinda Bencic, who obviously she's returning from maternity. I watched that match and thought, bloody hell, like I to be fair, a lot of things were going through my mind that match. The first thing was Paolini's playing a completely different game to Bencic. Like, and I couldn't imagine, I can only imagine what Bencic must have been thinking, like, what the hell is this? Like, in terms of what kind of, like, this is not tennis that I'm used to. And obviously she's been away for a while. But also I was thinking, Lucy, and I've not shared this with you, and I'm interested to hear your thoughts. Like, I feel like a lot of people feel like Paolini is going to have a massive drop off this season.
Oh, yeah.
I am not one of those people. I feel like she, this, like, again, she spoke about it a lot last year. There's like a belief there now that she has the ability to compete at this level. And I feel like we're going to see her. She's going to be in the top, I think she'll be in the top 10 come the end of the year. I'm going to say it. And I don't know about the finals. I mean, I'm not going to put it past her. She'll be making regular second weeks at Grand Slams, I have no doubt. Because now I just feel like she just knows how to win. And players also, they're a bit intimidated because they feel like, you know, I can't actually hang with her. Like, she just kind of stays the course, and it's like too much for me to kind of deal with over, yeah, three sets, because that's obviously that's women's tennis. But yeah, I feel like Paolini, she's going to show that last season was not a fluke, and I'm here for it. Like, I really am, and I'm looking forward to it.
I'm really glad that you said that, to be honest, Eugene, because I've definitely felt that vibe. I felt like people were already counting that out. Like they saw it just like, oh yeah, this is just like a one-off thing and whatnot. And it's like, no. Like you said, you put it properly. Like I think she's finally cracked the code to get to where she's at. And again, I think the reason why people feel like that is because to a lot of people, Paulini just came out of nowhere. Whereas to everyone who actually did watch her grow would know that no, she's
It's been a
literally
grind,
been
yeah.
grinding. So it's not a thing where like, it's just that she's just doing this once and it's done. And who knows, maybe all of this wins has actually pushed her even more, like trying to motivate her even more. Like the grind is like literally like now she's gone through all that phase and it's like, okay, now I know what to do and so on. So I think she just needs to carry on. She still played incredibly great. I saw some of the highlights again. I couldn't watch the matches, but I saw the highlights and stuff. And it was like she played like really well as well. And she lost to a player that can be tricky. Her head-to-head Mikova is I think Mikova is ahead, if I am correct, from what I remember. But yeah, honestly speaking, I'm looking forward to her this season. Again, I don't think it's a thing where I don't see Paolini losing her first week at Grand Slams. Like it's not happening. It's literally not. I definitely see her winning another big title this year. Honestly, I see her win another 1,000. I can also see her defending her title at Dubai. So yeah, I'm
Go
looking
on.
forward to yeah.
Yeah, she's actually never beaten Mukova. So they played
See.
four times before
See, yeah,
they
I
met
remember,
at
yeah.
this year's
Yeah.
United Cup. But
But
yeah,
yeah,
that's
listen, just like before, they were kind her out, we were here, and we're gonna do the same shit again.
facts. Just last before we move on from the United Cup, we need to mention Felix Auger-Aliassime. So he was Canada's playing captain. Had a suffered a horrible loss against Borna Coric in his first match after winning the first set 6-love. I was like, bloody hell, what a way to start. And I want to say that was it was under half an hour he won that set, but then he ended up losing in three sets. And the commentary during that match, Lucy, I won't talk about it too much, but man, I was irritated by the commentary.
Really?
Yeah, like I just thought these guys, like Mark Fidipousas was the guy on court duty. So you know when someone's like by the court with the mic interviewing like the teams and stuff, but he was also like coming in every now and again. But I just thought, and I was saying this to Uche around the time it happened. I feel like with certain commentators, they're too quick to be like overly critical. And I feel like in when you're watching a match, and that's why I understand that, where a lot of people say, oh, I don't really watch matches with the commentary on. Like I watch
Bro.
It
with
commentary either on mute or Love off it. if yep. I can have the option. Mm-hmm. But I do like commentary because it does add like color to like mm-hmm. what you're watching.
Yeah.
There are some really good commentators out there. Like I love Nick Lester. I think he's brilliant.
Yeah.
I like Naomi Brody. I think she's really good as well.
Yeah.
Laura Robson is also good. Shonda Rubin. Mm-hmm. Like there are good commentators out there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I feel like some are like, they're too quick to just be super negative, and you do not need that. Mm-hmm. Like,
especially as a season.
This is what I'm saying, but also as a viewer, like it's just not good. It's not good listening, like to hear like negativity. Like I want to hear positivity. Like,
mm-hmm. or at least if you're going to give your negative, like your some of the points where you feel like they could improve on, you can always do it in a like respectful way. The way that we do it. Like we always give the props and we always like, you know, like it is what it is.
100%. But just on Felix, yeah, he was the only player to beat Taylor Fritz, because obviously Fritz he went on to win every single match after that.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's also like good going for Felix. Obviously, Fritz is a top five player. So, mm-hmm. and again, that match he was losing. He came up from a set down to win that. So that should give him some confidence going into this new season.
I hope so. I really hope so. And also a congratulations to him. He's engaged.
Facts. I did forget to mention that actually.
So there's been a change in that. I think there should be a change somewhere else as well, Felix. Don't
stop it.
You know.
We're not still doing this, Lucy. I love how his dad I love how his dad like was all up in the camp as well. Like he was literally on the team bench, which is brilliant to see. Because obviously his dad does travel with him like a lot. So
we'll be
seeing a lot more of Papa Ojeali Asim mm-hmm. on the tour, which is great. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Let's move on to Auckland. ASB Classic?
Yep.
What a name. But yeah, what a tournament, Lucy. Again.
Black girl magic, bro. Don't care, bro. Black girl magic.
I love that.
Period.
I love that.
Period. Mm-hmm. We went all the way to Auckland, all of us.
What is it about Auckland? Because Coco's the champion, well, the last 2 years.
Last 2 years, and then before that, obviously they didn't play COVID, but it was Serena. And then also doubles. I even forgot to mention doubles for Taylor Townsend. She won back-to-back, remember? Last year and the year before.
Oh, wow, of course, yeah. Serena also won doubles. Did she win doubles with Wozniacki?
Recently, maybe back.
I think that year was it.
Was it
the year she won?
It wasn't. I think it was the year after she. No, the year after she won, she retired.
So she lost that final in 2020 against Townsend and Muhammad.
Yeah,
but she was playing. Yeah, she was playing with Caroline Wozniacki in that.
Right, got it.
Because I was like, yeah, I'm sure she's won that. But yeah, she won the singles that year.
We in Auckland, baby.
But yeah, what is it with Auckland?
I don't know. Maybe it's a great vibe. To be fair, the vibe there is, it seems nice though. Like, it seems like people are chilled, enjoying. They have like a table. It's like they recognize
the Aborigine culture as well, which is just nice.
Yeah,
I do
which is
like
really,
that.
Really dope. I really like it, yeah.
But wow, Lucy, what a week in terms of just, because when I saw the draw, I was like, bloody hell, this is going to like be keeping me up very late at night, because there were so many players in the draw. Osaka, Madison Keys was the number one seed for starters. But yeah, Osaka, she was a seventh seed, I want to say. Robin Montgomery was in the draw. Hayley Baptiste, Alicia Parks, Sloane Stephens. I was like, this is like, it's a takeover. And then, yeah, we had five players in the quarterfinals.
Mm-hmm.
We'll come to talk about the final in a minute, but I do want to give props to Robin Montgomery, because she made her first WTA Tour semi-final.
Mm-hmm.
And she lost to Clara Towson, who was the eventual champion, in very weird circumstances. But Yeah, it was a breakout tournament for so many players. Like Baptiste as well, she gave a good account of herself. She made a run to the quarterfinals. Like I said, she did lose to Osaka in that quarterfinal. But yeah, she took Osaka
She
to
was
three sets.
also injured,
Yeah, she hurt herself. I think in the second, at the end of the second set, she took out like a long medical timeout. And I think she was getting like treatment to her feet. So hopefully she's okay ahead of the Australian Open. Obviously, she's a top 100 player now as well. Now working with Franklin Tiafoe, shouts out.
They've been working together.
Yeah, I know, but I'm saying it was nice to see them, like,
See him,
well, it's nice to see him literally in her box, like at a tournament. So that looks like a proper, yeah, partnership, which is cool. I want to say very geared. Did you see his outfit?
I saw a video
Very,
on
very,
the
very Larry. Very Larry Pink and like.
someone posted like a story and stuff. Like, yeah. I think they actually posted it,
Okay,
ABS on their IG story.
so you can see he's about his fashions, which I respect. But yeah, it was a really, really good tournament. I think Keys as well. She kind of, I say, surprised me. She's also playing with a new racket, it looks like. So she's not playing with Wilson anymore.
You said that, yeah, she,
Yeah,
yeah.
there's no stencil on the racket, but from my like kind of, I say, trained eye, the racket looks like a Yonex because
You're a
the
Yonex guy as well,
And this is the
so.
thing, I'm a big Yonex eye, but the how I can tell it's a Yonex is the top of the head is flat. Only Yonex rackets are like that. Most rackets are oval. But yeah, with Yonex, the top of the head is always flatter. So it looks like she's possibly going to be moving on to Yonex. She did lose to Towson in that quarterfinal. One thing about New Zealand or Auckland, even, the weather does play, like, it does wreak havoc sometimes, and it
There was a lot
did.
of rain delays, right?
Yeah, it wreaked havoc, unfortunately, this year. So Parks had to play her quarterfinal match. No, sorry, Parks had to play her second round match against Katie Bonanets indoors, which was unfortunate. But she did win. She won in straight sets.
I think I can't pick because she's really good indoors as well,
This is the thing, yeah.
anyways.
It was a massive, yeah, I guess, benefit or advantage for Parks. But then she did lose to Naomi Osaka in the semi-final, so that was a quarter-final match against Bonanets. But yeah, let's talk about Osaka, man. Like, I mean, I say where to start. First of all, she looked really
Oh
good.
no, wait, sorry. Before we actually do start on Osaka, can we please give a shout out to Robin Montgomery?
No, but we did. But what else are you going to say?
I want to say that is Robin Montgomery's year. And I actually did have a prediction. I wrote it down on my notes. I need to
Oh,
send you
go
that.
on.
I wrote it down on my notes. She is 100% winning a 250 or 500 title this year. It
I
is
love that.
happening.
I
It's
love that.
happening. But I was really blown away. I love seeing how many people were speaking about her as well. I feel like this year she's really going to have like her breakthrough. So even if she doesn't win a title, I think there's going to be a lot of people mentioning Robin Montgomery. I really enjoyed watching her highlight. I love watching her play. Like anytime I watch matches of her, especially last year, thoroughly enjoyed it. Really great, 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 and great personality as well. So rooting
Yeah.
for Robin. I had to let that out. Sorry. Thank
No,
you.
well said, well said. And also she's celebrating her new I say celebrating,
Well, yeah.
rocking new gear, Nike girl now, no
Nike.
longer feeler. She did look good in the feeler though.
She
The
did, yeah,
feeler prints were
I was a
nice.
bit hurt. I was like, oh, like the feet, like anytime, like because Navarro, for example, was a feeler, right? And every time they were wearing like the same fit, like anytime I saw on Robin, I was like, roll, like you're Rocky, you got that shit on. You got that shit on. You got it on. So yeah, hopefully, you know. Well, I'm hoping the Nike bag is heavy. Pay a black woman, please.
No, well said, well said. But yeah, she's cracking the top 100 imminently, imminently. So
For
we look
sure.
forward to that. But
Definitely.
on Osaka though now, Lucy, man, how when you were well, we were texting kind of back and forth when you were the club. I think you lost connection.
I
Towards the
did.
end of the second, or towards the end of the first set,
The
you lost
first set, I
connection.
was still getting gassed, and then I was like, wait.
What's
What's
happened?
going on? Why am I seeing people carrying bags? what's going on? Like, I was just like, because I refreshed it on my phone and I'm just seeing like bags and the match still not on. I was like, hold on a minute, hold on a minute, hold on a minute. What? Because the thing is, when she was playing, you did not think or see for 1 minute that she was injured. Like, I don't know how I noticed this about Saka a lot. Like, even before she went on maternity leave, you don't really know when she's actually that injured till like out of nowhere she calls MTO. Yeah. She's like, I'm not actually feeling well. I think she doesn't like to show that to her parent, but also to, I think it just pushes her. She's like, I can do it. I want to push through. But in all honesty, my only hope is that I really hope she just still sees this as a positive thing and it still boosts her up, because one thing for sure, she would have won that match. I don't care. She would have won that match.
No, definitely.
She would have won that title. She was playing so well. Those returns were insane. I love Osaka's returns. Probably one of my favorite things about her. But I am generally so, so, so proud of her. I did not think she would actually go all the way to the finals, to be very honest with you. Like, I thought it would take a little bit more time. I thought maybe a little bit more tournaments. But I think she really came in, locked in into this season. She is grinding. She really wants to do this. I was a little bit scared because she did say in one of her pre-press conferences that, you know, if she doesn't see the result that she wants, she is going to stop.
That was interesting.
Which doesn't shock me too much from Osaka. That does sound like something that she would do. It was just like, please, and we need you.
Yeah. Don't go.
We actually need you. Like, tennis needs you. Like, no. So I'm really glad that despite she thought that way, she still made it all the way to that final. And it's not like she was playing crappy players. Everyone was playing well that tournament. I feel like that's probably the most enjoyable ABS that we've had, despite not being able to watch the matches a lot, from the highlights and even from what people were like tweeting about. I feel like it's been a very exciting pre-AO, which
definitely
is weird, because that's why I'm not really a fan of AO like that. I just feel like it's just we're trying to get back, but the girls are hungry. Like, the WTA girls are hungry. They really killing it. We've had some great matches and Osaka is definitely one of them. I just really, really hope this is just like a boost to her. I hope the injury is not too severe. For her to make it all the way to the final, like, it's just incredible. Honestly, it's really incredible. She's only been back this time last year, literally.
Exactly.
So I feel like I think it's a great rhythm. I think there's been a lot of pressure. I think the rhythm that she's on is like a great path and she will get there. I think she just needs to keep on grinding. It looks like her and her partnership with Patrick is working really well. We just need to bring that same energy for Australian Open. And Grand Slam Osaka is different from, if she can do this at ABS.
Also, and apologies, I didn't actually send you, like, I did actually have like a bit of some notes on Osaka, but I didn't send you, so sorry about that. But I literally just got here, she was seeded, so she was the seventh seed. How like nice is it to see her, well, a number next to her already. Name at a tournament, like,
already.
So, and obviously, yeah, this was a 250, but yeah, she made it all the way to the final and she virtually won. I mean, that mm-hmm. she was 5-1 up in that first set.
Yeah.
Towson did peg it back to 5-4. Osaka did serve it out. And then that's when she injured herself serving. I think it was like an abdominal thing because she was getting some kind of treatment to that area, mm-hmm. or attention was being shown to that area anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I love that she's now, obviously a few hours later, she's posted on Instagram, like just kind of summing up or putting together, like, I don't know, like a dump of pictures, mm-hmm. or yeah, posts. And clearly she's in like reflective mood and rightly so, but I feel like she's in good spirits and rightly so, but she played good tennis. And like you said, in terms of like her run, she won every single match in straight sets apart from the Baptiste match. That was the only mm-hmm. match where she was kind of pushed, you could say. Mm-hmm. Even against Parks as well. Parks came out flying. Like, I think Parks broke her first. But Osaka did eventually break back and then ended up winning in straight sets. But that could have been a tricky match for Osaka because Parks is a very good or talented player, as we already know. But there was something about Osaka that she just looked, she kind of looked like her old self in that, like, she, there was like that confidence there that we speak about Coco Gauff. Like, it feels like she's also kind of regaining that kind of, I guess, almost invincibility that she had, let's say, because it was that she was winning slams back to back. On that one that she went on, what was it, in 2019? So yeah, I feel like it bodes well, and hopefully the injury isn't too serious and she's able to
hope so
at the Australian Open. But like, what a weird like set of circumstances for Towson as well, because I mean, it's not a nice way to kind of win a final,
I mean, at the end of the day, she still made all the way to the final, so it is what it is. You know, she Osaka was up 5-1 and she still, you know, did fight it through, broke her twice. So like, she got there, and it's not like she had like an easy run throughout. She still fought through, and you can't take that away from her. She still had to beat many players.
She got to the doubles semi-final as well with Sloane Stephens, which is cool.
She definitely
played good tennis to get there.
Exactly. Sure. Yeah.
But yeah, just unfortunate to see Osaka having to like withdraw. But
yeah, but I'm so glad. I honestly did not expect Osaka to make it to the final. I'm going to be honest, like, I thought she needed a little bit more time. So for her to do it this quick before AO as well, mate, the only thing that can stop her for AO at this moment is literally just like the injuries and stuff, because when she's on, bro.
Yeah.
You know, her body is completely different. She's been very open about how, you know, she's struggling to like connect to her current body now, and like her mental and her mind together. Motherhood changes you a lot. Your body is doing a lot of different things, and she's an athlete. So yeah, I wish people gave her grace on that and understood that, but a lot of people don't, but it's okay. I don't even understand it. No kids. So, but at least, you know, I've been around women enough and mothers enough to understand that it's not the same.
No, well said.
But she's got this, man.
Well said.
Very, 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 very great way to start the year. I think this will give her the motivation for sure.
Facts. Should we talk about Petra Pericard now and that run to the semi-finals in Brisbane? I did watch many of his matches. So I did watch this Kyrgios match, and that was a free setter.
Yeah.
A lot of tight
ones. People were complaining about.
Each set went the distance in terms of tie breaks. And I feel like Kyrgios is like, who the hell is this kid? Like, but at the end, there was respect there. I feel like he earned Kyrgios's respect.
Because
I put here that he beat the Serb allegations, Lucy, like not just in that match, but throughout the tournament, because, and again, we said this last year too, like he is not just like a service machine. Like he actually does have nice hands. Like he's able to
nice
kind of
movements
construct
as well.
Yeah. He can construct points. Like he's got good tennis IQ. Like,
yeah,
he's just not all about the big serve. Obviously, there are things he can work on. I feel like maybe he's got a one-handed backhand, which is quite strong, I'd say. But I feel like that could definitely do more kind of maybe work. And the forehand too, but it's still a weapon. What I was most impressed with, though, in Brisbane was his kind of ability to come forward. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's something he needs to kind of make more use of, because
I don't think people expect it.
And so I'm saying, as for a younger player too, like you don't really expect that from younger players, but again, I feel like he knows like that is a weapon he can kind of implement into his game. And I feel like we're going to be seeing a lot more of that as well. And obviously with the serve, it just makes sense. Like he could finish points very quickly. If it's not an ace, it will be, you know, coming in off the back of a big serve, finishing with a body, done. Mm-hmm. So I'm very, very excited about Petri Perekar's season.
Yeah.
There was a match against TFO that I wasn't able to stay up for, unfortunately. But he did beat TFO again, second time in a row. Obviously, they met in Paris towards the end of last year. That match went to three sets. This one was a straight sets win in Brisbane for Petri Perekar. But TFO, he looked annoyed because he just, again, it's that kind of thing about the serve being such a massive weapon. Like, he's gonna frustrate a lot of guys. Like,
He is
it's just the way it is,
that
man.
menshik, that menshik handshake. Yeah, it's not gonna be just him, boy. Everyone's gonna be doing that.
That's just the way it is. So
That's just the
we have
way
to
it
just,
is.
yeah,
I think, do you know what? I
step it
just feel
up.
like, from the fan perspective, I feel like the fans that are complaining, I don't think they've actually watched a proper Giovanni
Oh, definitely
match.
not.
Do you get what I mean?
They've just
Or
seen the
they've never
highlights.
watched a Giovanni match that from a player that's been able to return well. Because if you do, then you will be able to see his different abilities. Some did, and some brought up, his loss to Musetti, or was it Musetti that he lost to at Wimbledon? I think so. Yeah, Musetti, yeah. And they were trying to explain that. But even that, I just feel like this guy is like 100 kg. He's like 10 foot. And he moves like so well. Like you said, not a lot of these players have that one-handed backhand. Do you get what I mean? Like, he actually aims for winners. Like, it's not just the serves. And do you know what the thing about the serve bots? Yeah. When you ask people, what is if you were a tennis player, what is like your playing style that you wish like you had? Like, what would be like your number one? And 9 out of 10. You get serves because it's the easiest thing. Sorry, is it my fault that you guys don't know how to return back to my serve? This guy was serving heavy when he was even a teen. It wasn't just that. Do you get what I mean? And I also think sometimes people are subjective with like the serve spot thing because
She's gonna
can I
go there.
word this? How can I
She's gonna
word this
go
without getting
there.
in trouble?
To be fair though, he did lose against one in Riley Opelka, because he's been called a serve bot in his time.
I just feel like if it's, I'm not gonna say the name, but I just feel like when it's a player that people love, they don't put the serve bot allegation. So I've always said, I even tweeted on our account, I was like, this whole serve bot thing, at times it is subjective. But yeah, either way, do you know what? Even if he has allegations, so what? Now what? Yeah, he's a serve bot. Now what? Okay.
I don't think it's an issue at all. Like, and I
Like,
love,
so what? Because at the end of the day, your serve is what's going to help you win the match. He's trying to win the match. Like, it is what it is. He's a serve bot. Now what? What are we going to do about it?
deal with
Tell your
it.
favorite player to know how to return back. That's it. All he has to do is that other people have to return back properly. And while you guys are trying to practice that, he's also going to keep on playing well in his other tactics. That's it. Like, he actually, like, when I was watching play at Wimbledon, I was really impressed at how he generally moves well for the type body type that he
His body
has,
type,
the way that he literally tries to aim for winners, the way that he was not afraid on the grass. Like, he was going towards the net and he was still doing that on hard court as well. The guy is still new. This, like, last year was probably like he was no probably it was his proper like full-on ATP tour, tournament and stuff, and he was doing a lot of things, and now he's putting the name of himself. And yeah, he has a great serve. He knows how to return, he knows how to aim for winners. And these players just don't know how to return back, and they're mad and they're frustrated. And that is it. If they were able to serve like him, they would have done the same thing.
Facts. Well said. Another thing as well, he deserves massive credit for playing doubles because he plays a lot of doubles, and I feel like
Yeah.
that's also going to help his game a lot.
Exactly.
And it
Exactly.
clearly it's showing that it is.
He's a
So,
grinder. He really works
yeah.
well. Like, when I was at Queen's, he was always practicing straight. As soon as it stops raining, he will be out there practicing with his coach. He knows how to, he knows what to do. And I think him and his team, he has a great coach. Him and his team really do study the players that they play against. Like, they really sit down and analyze stuff. Like, he said it before. So yeah, it's not like he just comes on court and it's like, I'm gonna just serve it out. We've had players like that before. They did it and they didn't have anything else. If you're bored, well, tell people to return better.
I like how you mentioned his coach as well, because he gets a lot of, I say credit. He's well known, Emmanuel Plonk.
Yeah.
Like mm-hmm. he's worked with a lot of like, yeah, top French players. So yeah, clearly he's in, Petr Perkard is in good hands with him, you know, in his camp.
I'm
very excited about Perkard's season. I've said here, don't be surprised if we see him in the top 20 at some point year.
I mean, he's 30.
I think he's 31 right now. So you know, it's only 11 spots, isn't it?
Let's go.
So yeah, finally, it's been a long one. But like you said, it's the first
it's the first the pod, guy. Hey guys, it's the first pod. We're back. I'm excited. There's been so many things happening. See, this is what I'm saying. This has been the busiest pre-AO, finally. Because last year I was bored. It was dull. Okay.
But yeah, Hong Kong, we had two players that we were keeping an eye on. So Arthur Fils, who was the fourth seed, I want to say. He did make it to the quarterfinals. He lost to the eventual champ and fellow Frenchman, Alexandre Muller, who we were actually sat next to. I didn't actually tell you this. We were sat next to Muller, Lucy, last year. This is like a private thing. Sorry, guys. But yeah, we went to a pre-Wimbledon.
Oh, the charity event.
Not the charity event. So the dinner we went to. Shouts out to Antoine. Do you remember? And we met the lovely Isis in person.
Oh, yes.
Alexandre Muller was sat next to us, like maybe two tables away with his girlfriend.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh,
really random. And I'm pretty sure I told you, but I don't think so.
There was a lot happening that time, but yeah. Shout out to Antoine.
But yeah, Fils made it to the quarterfinals. I was expecting him to go further in Hong Kong, Lucy. I'm not going to lie to you. Being the fourth seed, obviously, there's no kind of shame in losing to the eventual winner.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he was probably expecting to beat Muller. He lost in three sets, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
Gabriel Diallo, actually, he did come through qualifying, but he lost in the second round to Lorenzo Massetti, who's also been getting a bit of crap about his haircut. I don't know if you've seen that.
Yeah. I didn't see that.
So yeah, he's got like a new, it's not really a buzz cut, but it's like a shorter hairstyle.
Right.
And people are going in on him about it. Just like, bloody hell, man. I mean, it's easy for me to talk though, isn't it, with my bald head? Like maybe that's why I feel it as well, because I don't have hair anymore. Like, so all this like hair chat is like, got to be heated.
Eugene, please.
But Lucy, that I want to say that wraps up this episode. Unless there's anything else you want to add.
I'm glad that tennis is back. And guys, please keep an eye that we will be podding a lot more. You know?
Amen.
Amen. We're podding a lot more. Eugene and I, we had a little meeting. And yeah, no, I feel like the matches so far, everything that's been happening so far has really made me excited to play tennis. But I feel like we're gonna have a great season.
Yeah, same.
I think a lot from the WTA, but also I have faith. I think ATP as well. I feel like ATP, we're gonna be hearing a lot more of the other guys' names, not everyday Sinner and Alcaraz.
Facts.
It might be some Massetti, it might be some Mpeshi Perica, you know, we might be getting some other names now. I think a lot more people are going to be popping out. I mean, Opelka literally beat Novak Djokovic.
Crazy.
I think it's going to be his last year if he keeps on losing.
Interesting.
I don't think Novak will be okay with
being third best.
Yeah, I think he will. I'll be really surprised if he has a good year. I see him keep on playing, but I think if he keeps on having these early losses, he's going to post the IG saying, I'm out. I can see it, which I don't want to happen, bro. Like,
even with Murray in the camp.
Who am I? Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Oh, and speaking of Andy, did you see that him and Emma unfollowed each other?
Oh, we're not going to go there, Lucy. Leave Emma alone, man. I beg. People need to leave Emma Raducanu alone.
No, for real.
To be honest, I was annoyed that she pulled out of Auckland, because it would have been good to see her. play Auckland
for
as
sure.
well.
Yeah, I was looking for,
So
and she was
hope
supposed to play against Robin Montgomery.
exactly that would have been the first round. So hopefully she's okay.
For
Come
sure,
AO,
for
but
sure. But yeah,
yeah, like
looking
you,
forward to it.
I'm very excited about the season, man. It's going to be a good one, and I feel like yeah,
Yeah.
there's a lot of players to kind of be excited about.
Yeah.
But I do want to shout out Angela Okotoyi. So guys,
Guys, make sure
if
you
you
check
haven't seen
out.
that, please, please, please watch that or listen to
For
that
sure.
interview, however you listen to the podcast. But yeah, it was so good having Angela on, man. And I think I think I tweeted how proud I was of like that interview, just because yeah, Lucy, when I started this platform, that is kind of this that kind of interview is something that I kind of like imagined in terms of putting a player like that, giving them their shine and like putting them on a platform to kind of yeah tell their story. And I feel like she's going to be a player that we're going to be seeing a lot more of. Hopefully she'll have a good college career, but yeah, she can make a breakthrough on the WTA tour as well at some point. So yeah, shouts out to Angela. And yeah guys, if you haven't already, please do check that interview
Yeah,
out.
really, it was really dope, really insightful. And yeah.
But yeah, until next time, I think our next pod will be AO. Can you believe it? Like the year hasn't even started yet. We're already talking about bloody
Bro.
first Grand Slam of the year. It's crazy.
You see, this is why AO disrupts me. This is like, Happy New Year, Grand Slam. Like, it's just,
And
yeah. But
I think, go on, sorry.
most likely our pod will be mid-AO. We're going to see
Yeah.
because there's a lot of content too, guys.
With a
There's a
guest as
lot.
well, maybe. So we'll, yeah, we'll,
Yes.
you'll see.
Oh,
You'll see.
yes. We'll have a guest. We have a guest, actually. Yeah.
You'll see. But yeah, guys, thank you so much for tapping in. And again, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
It's going to be a good one. So
Great one.
we
Bigger
move.
one.
Shouts out to Coco Gauff, United Cup MVP.
Call her champion, period.
Take care, guys.